Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Moe's. This is my Paisley Penny Arcade. How are ya? Today is Wednesday, the 16th of July, 2025. Had to think about that for a second. Pardon me. Pardon me. That was incredibly rude. I almost said 2027. And I have no idea why I said that. Who knows? Now someone's going to jot that down and say, all right, 16th of July, 2027. We'll see what happens on the 16th of July, 2027. Shall we? Let's do.
Really, we should. Really, Riley.
So how have you been? How was the last week for you? Was it interesting? Was it fascinating? I hope so. I hope you had a good week. Mine was reasonable, I guess. Therefore, I am, I guess. What can I say? I can say a lot, as you know. Oh, gosh-a-rudy. The world. Oh, the world. Oh, what a world. What a world, as the Wicked Witch of the West was prone to saying as she was melting. Yeah, throw some water on me. Let's see what happens. Nothing. I get wet. And maybe just a wee itty bit cleaner. So, how have you been? Good? Good. Moe's. Paisley. Moe's in Arabic means banana. So I think it's pretty apt. Sometimes I feel bananas. Most of the time, I must admit to feeling pretty bananas. And that was a pretty good song back in the 70s, or was it the 60s? Loving You Has Made Me Bananas by Guy Marx. I think it was Guy Marx. It was pretty good. It was a takeoff on the older songs from the 20s, and he had quite a hit with that. Your red scarf matches your eyes. You close your cover before striking. Your father has the chiffoner blues, and loving you has made me bananas. I think it was Guy Marx. Yeah, and he was a sidekick. I think he was Tim Conway's sidekick on the Tim Conway show about being a cowboy. And I can't remember the name of the show. It didn't run 22 weeks. That's a full season. And it never had a show that ran that long. But wow. Talk about the echoes of a mind. This week on the Power Peak. And what is the Power Peak, some of you may be asking?
L-I-say.
I'm sorry. For those of you, I was born in the UK. I was born
in the UK.
Yes, I was. It's the truth. But I came here at a youthful age of 10 months old. And even though I was born in the UK, I cried with a British accent and came over here and began crying with an American accent. It took me quite a while to finally get the right accent. But anyway, What is the Power Peak? It is a weekly newsletter that comes out that Mark prints. Mark Husson. He prints out every week. I'm in there. I write an article called Out of Mo's Mind, which happens to also be the name of my podcast, which is actually real. It ain't easy to find, but it's on Spotify, it's on Apple, it's on iHeart, whatever, and it's actually on everything. It's out there. You have to kind of look for it. If you put into Google Out of Mo's Mind podcast, you'll probably get a response. Sometimes you have to say it again, Out of Mo's Mind podcast, Mo Abdelbaki. And because very few people really know about it, very few people a week listen to it. It's like looking for the Holy Grail. You know, you may find it, you may not. It's stories about me. There's only 26 episodes because after a while I kind of went, me, you know, got kind of tired of it. And then there's even a thing about Shemp in there. So that's why I do, I guess I've always liked Shemp. But I admit, Curly was absolutely a genius. But there's something about Shemp I've always liked. Shemp Howard of the Three Stooges. Horowitz, actually. But that's Samuel Horowitz, Shemp Howard. Something about him I always liked. He was very funny. Very funny guy. Hypochondriac, by the way. Hypochondriac. But all sorts of strange stories. There's a couple in there, my wife and I together, completely her idea. I say that in truth. I say that absolutely in truth. Not that I didn't mind doing it, but, you know, because she brings sanity to it. Who needs sanity, you know? And she brings sanitary things to it. I don't mean it that way. I mean, she's just clean. She's a woman, and women are generally cleaner than men. I think that's a general. There are men who are clean, you know. But most men are like me. If you saw my office, you'd say, uh-huh, I get that. It's not terrible, although she thinks it is. She can't even come in here for a few minutes. She had to come in here to do some filing yesterday, and I thought she was going to jump out of her skin, which would be skinless wife, you know, which would be, God, it's a good name for a show or something, skinless wife. Can you see that every Tuesday night on ABC, skinless wife? It'd be... Wow, is that a weird idea, you know? Just muscles and sinews and tendons and be strange, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be weird? Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, one of these days.
Yep, one of these days they're going to come take me away.
Maybe, maybe not.
Does it always have to be so weird?
What kind of? That's how my mind works. Speaking of how my mind works, back in the Power Peak, Mark's. And if you don't know what that is, go to 12house.com and sign up for the Power Peak. And every Saturday night, in your email, you'll get a thing from Mark. And it'll say, access to Mark's Power Peak. There'll be a secret word. Say the secret word, and, you know, just like old Groucho used to say. And it may be something simple, like cigar. No, it won't be that. Who knows what it'll be? Maybe the number four, or the day. I don't know what it's going to be. Don't ask me. I don't come up with this stuff. I'm a simpleton. It may be simpleton. And then you put that in, and it takes you to the Power Peak, where the Power Peak has daily prognostications by C.A. Brooks, who is my friend. I'm on her show every second Tuesday of the month. And we have a lot of fun on her show. And you can listen to all these shows, by the way, on 12 Radio on demand. Yes, you can. So... And last week's show was a lot of fun. Was that last week? Yeah, last week. Had a good time. We always do. But, and then you can read my articles called Out of Mo's Mind. And last week I wrote about golf, believe it or not. And I don't know, we had just gotten done watching a golf tournament in Scotland, PGA Tour in Scotland. And I am just dumbfounded, I wrote about this, that I'm dumbfounded that I like watching golf. Now, I usually do things like practice my Anasazi flute, which is a 3-foot piece of bird's eye maple that's hollowed out that you blow into properly, because they're not easy to play. And I do rim-blown fruit method for that, which is not how it's designed. But I rarely do anything the way it's designed, because I'm just annoying. And I only do that when my wife is taking a shower, because she just frankly can't stand all the things that I do, you know. And I watch golf and play my musical instruments, or my neigh, which is not a horse. I wouldn't do that to a horse. But it's a piece of reed, water reed, and not Walter Reed, that's a hospital, Water Reed, and blow into that, and it makes sounds. Finally, I can say not just noise, but music. Well, okay, sounds. And other things. And I watch golf, and this was in Scotland, and man, it is a tough course, because it's got like briars, and you know, and it's not like our courses that are so, you know, easy. It's like you're playing this one, it's like, you know, man up, because it's not easy. It's sandy and you know, McTavish, and you know, that sort of thing. They're playing there too. No, they're not. But I thought, wouldn't it be really cool, since it's in Scotland, if every single golfer had a bagpiper attached to them, not physically, but, you know, like you had to stand next to them, and these bagpipers played. I just thought, wow, wouldn't that make the game much more, two things, challenging and entertaining for those who are watching? So I wrote that in the Power Peak, and my wife, I send her a link to the Power Peak every week, and she rarely says anything. Some of them she likes, a lot of them she doesn't say anything about, and she didn't say a thing about this one, you know, until later in the day, and she kind of said, just very quickly, bagpipes. And I said, well, it's in Scotland, and I thought it would be a really good idea. And we were watching it, and I thought to myself, how cool would it be, and even funny, if that's what happened, if the bagpipers were playing, and that's what happened. You had a bagpiper attached to every, with a caddy. You have got the caddy, and then you also had the bagpiper. And the bagpiper plays the entire time. So you've got, as if there are 30 players, and I don't know how many there are. It's not like a football team where you've got 45 guys or whatever, where you've got all these players, and every player, they've got a caddy, and they've got a bagpiper. And the bagpipers are all playing different songs or whatever they want to play the entire time. And she said just one thing. She said, people will die. I thought, wow, good answer. People will die. And I also realized how she feels about my playing my musical instruments all the time, because I do it. And bagpipes have been the one musical instrument that has been forbidden me in both my marriages my entire life. I got married at the ripe old age of 23. Was it 23? Yeah, something like that. And I've been forbidden bagpipes the whole time. And I've wanted them so desperately. I wanted the full war pipes, as they're called, you know, the Highland pipes. And no, can't have bagpipes. And so now I would be happy with kitchen pipes, which are still bagpipes, but they're much less loud. And actually, I was thinking about a cornemuse, which are French bagpipes, which actually play music. Can play music. Regular bagpipes, Scottish bagpipes, only play 8-9 notes. That's it. That's it. That's all. But no bagpipes for Mo. So people will die. Or people would die, whatever she said. Cracked me up, I thought. I didn't laugh out loud because I did not want to die. And there was not a crack. She did not. It was just very calm, very, you know, sedate matter. And I realized, oh, she doesn't like my 7-foot-long didgeridoo playing. It's PVC. And maybe is not as fond about all the flutes that I play and, you know, my chanting and whatever it is else I do, the, you know, the concertina and the accordion and, attention music lovers, you know, I hide out when I practice, and it's all practice, and yodeling, well, I've been kind of forbidden yodeling as well, which is, I think, why I mention it all the time. It's Freudian. People will die. Anyway, so I just wanted to mention that because I know some people read it and went, what's wrong with him? I don't know. But I just thought that was a great idea. Since you're in Scotland, do it. That's what you do. You do that. You just make the game a lot more interesting. And who knows, maybe they've done that. Maybe it's not an original idea. All right. So today I want to talk about some more about oracles, because I love oracles. Love them. And I want to talk about the concept that oracles can teach us about life and give us immense wisdom in doing so. Not that I've got any immense wisdom, but I like to think that I've actually learned a heck of a lot in my life from the oracles that I've used in my life. And a lot of that, to be quite honest, I think I was kind of I'm still a nerd, no doubt about that, but I'm a different sort of nerd now than I used to be. I feel like I'm doing much better in the world and in my life, because these oracles have taught me over and over and over again, and they can do the same for you. And in return, you become a much better reader. And when I say much better, I mean much, 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 much better reader. So that's what I'd like to talk about today. If you want to learn such things. And it doesn't have to be Tarot. It can be any oracle. And there's a real way to approach this, I believe. I do believe. There's a lot I believe in. There's a lot I don't believe in. That's not what today is about. Someday maybe it will be. Most of you, if you've listened to me a few times, you will get kind of the gist of what I may believe in and what I don't believe in. Right? Okay. We only need to learn from our experiences in speaking to nature, because that's what oracles are. Oracles are nature itself. They're the voices of the elementals. Yes, they are. I know that sounds weird, but it happens to be the case. At least that's what I believe. I believe that much anyway. Elemental forces are hard to describe, hard to pin down, whatever the case may be, and so I don't worry about it. I don't believe about it. The great occultist Aleister Crowley said, experience first, explain later. And I believe that. I've always believed that. I've had some remarkable experiences in my life that I've said, okay, let's not even try to figure this one out. Because trying to figure it out is damn near impossible. Some of them. Life teaches you every day something happens that you should get a lesson from. I absolutely am convinced of that, and I assure you of that, and that's something you should consider. Every single day, something happens that provides you with a lesson in life. And if you keep that in mind, you'll learn an immense amount. Okay. Right. Let's start with astrology as a for instance. Right? For instance. I have in the past used what's called as horary astrology. But before that, okay, let's talk just about your basic chart. If you can be honest with yourself about who you are, you will learn a lot about life. And being honest with yourself is not always easy. Trust me, I know. If you're honest with yourself when you study your chart and you say, okay, that's kind of me, and you're looking at things, and I have a Scorpio moon, I have Mars in Sagittarius, I have Saturn in Libra, and you just look at yourself and you say, okay, I have this stuff. And go to your favorite book on astrological interpretations, and you read the cons. And you don't soft soap it. And you read this stuff. And all those affiliations that I gave you in my chart are from the Vedic point of view. And what's the difference? In the West, we use a tropical system, which is theoretical. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't invalidate it. The Vedic system uses a sidereal system, which is based upon the actual position of the planets in the sky, which hasn't been done in our world in the West for about 2,000 years. Don't worry about it. Don't let it upset you. It's just apples and eggs. I know it's supposed to be apples and oranges, but, you know, they're both fruit. Let's not mince raisins. Let's just move on. So anyway, so the whole idea is that if you can really look at yourself and read the cons and accept them, and not all of them are right, of course. I mean, most of them are, you know, rather ridiculous, a lot of them. But if you look at yourself and say, okay, I see this, I accept this, because this happens to be a lot like me. And a lot of people who write books on astrology are just ridiculously wrong because they don't know what they're talking about. The same is true of what they say that is good. But you have to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. And that's your job. That's your job. And you look at the famous people and you take charts and you analyze them and you say, do I see this? Do I see that? And after a while of doing this, you get the hang of it. You get to where you can see what's pretty good and what isn't pretty good, you know? But that's the real task in astrology is honesty. And it starts with your chart, is being able to see yourself as you really are. Not an easy thing to do, but one of the most important and wonderful things that you can do. Trust me on that one. Self-acceptance is hard. I'm just going to say it. But when you do it, you learn so much. It's like taking off something that's keeping you from seeing the world. It really does help. Now, let's talk about transits. Transits, for those of you not into astrology, is you take your basic chart and you look at where the planets in the sky are now as they go over your chart. So, for example, let's say you have the sun in Leo. And so you see what planets in the sky are actually going in Leo right now. That's just a very quick example. That's a transit. What's transiting your sun? What's going over your sun? Maybe nothing. Although there's always something happening somewhere, essentially. We can say that. So what you do is you just take a look at certain things that have happened in your life. Like for me, I had a very bad time when with my first gout attack. I'm a gout sufferer. And it's my mom had gout, my dad had gout. It's family curse. But I hit it when I was about 44. And it was so miserable. And man, was it a bad time. So I went back and I looked at my chart and I just went, oh my God. I found it. Not only did I find it, but I found it. It was like, oh, the throbbing, the pain, the everything was exactly as it should be. And I'm not going to bore you with the details because that's not what this today's show is about. It's about saying to you, you can probably find these things. And hindsight is 20/20. I once said to Mark, because I was doing a lot of this, and I said, Mark, I can find anything in a hindsight 20/20 way. And he said, that's what astrology is about. And I said, oh, so that's what it is about. He was right. You go back and you find all this stuff, and that's how you learn about it. But more than that, that's how it becomes a part of your philosophy. That's how you learn. But more than that, that's how you learn about life and about yourself. That's where the wisdom is gained. But that's also how you learn to make predictions. Because when you say, oh, this happened to me when Saturn was passing over my Mars or my Sagittarius. Now, that's what was happening. Saturn was going over that old Sag of mine. And let me tell you why. Because everything you can learn, and learning as much as you can, especially in astrology, be about the paradigms that are given in astrological symbolism, will help you. Why? Well, what is the paradigm of Sagittarius? Well, Sagittarius is the archer, but not just any old archer. Not at all. Sagittarius is Chiron. Chiron, in the Greek, Chiron, the teacher of the Greek heroes, who was a centaur, who lived in the foothills away from humans, because he didn't like humans that much, because humans are hypocrites and humans are fickle. The centaurs are a race of truth tellers for the most part. They just don't like humans because humans are weird. They're just strange, you know. They just don't trust them with good reason. If modern times are any show of anything, we can see that. So poor old Chiron at some point either got stung by Scorpio, because Scorpio's right next door to Chiron, right, both in the sky and in astrology, or he took an arrow designed for Chiron, or I'm sorry, for Scorpio, shot by Orion or Hercules or whomever, and it depends upon the myth. So he was destined, since he was an immortal, to live with pain in his leg or foot forever. And he was in agony, but he still limped around and did what he needed to do. That's the perfect description of having gout. I did whatever I needed to do. I limped around. My first gout attack lasted 6 weeks. I didn't have insurance. And there was nothing I could do to make it feel better. Cherry juice? I swam in cherry juice. I did cherry juice IV. I drank it when I was asleep. I mean, I did it. It didn't work. Nothing. It tasted great. I loved it. But it didn't help. Not a tiny itty bitty, itty witty, weeny weeny bit. It was a misery, and it had nothing to do with what I was eating. It had nothing to do with, you know, and the more things I tried, like not eating this or drinking that or drinking too much of this or not, it made it just worse. And it would go away from this place to that place, and it was like it was like having the Great Depression, having migrants, Okies, you know, leaving one place and going to the other, so the gout would leave. I had it in my hand at one point. That was what my dad used to get it in his hand. Oh man! So astrologically speaking, it was right there. I went back and looked at it later. And I said, oh, well, that makes sense. Finally, I got insurance when I turned 65, and I could get on medication for it, you know. I think I might have gotten medication for it earlier than that, but only with a doctor who was a real, not a nice guy, you know, who wanted to stick a needle in the inflamed joint when I had a gout attack, which was, I can tell you, one of the most exciting moments of my life. I mean, you could see it. It was something, you know. But, and that's another story, modern medicine. Another time, my friends. So, but you learn about people. You also have to keep your eyes open. That's another aspect of oracles and learning from them. They will tip you off constantly as to what's going on. You have a deck of cards around you, pull a card. What about this guy? Pull a card. What about this person on the phone I'm talking to? Why are they doing this? But pull a card. It'll tell you exactly what's going on. And you learn about the deck and the card from the person you're talking to, you know? I'll do that right now. Ask about a salesperson was a nag, and why is the person the way they are? So I pull a card, and I just got the Two of Cups reversed, love reversed, and I see exactly why, because the person has no one in their life that they care for, or that cares for them, perhaps. And that just changes my perspective of that person. Should I feel compassionate for them? There's the card. And I get the Queen of Discs, or the Queen of Cups reversed, or the Queen of Discs reversed, I'm sorry. So not only should I feel compassion for them, but they don't have financial stability. God Almighty, thanks a lot, Tarot. You know, I wanted to really dislike this person forever, but I can't, because this poor person not only doesn't have anyone in their life, but they don't have finances. And so someone is cracking a whip over them to call and try and sell something, you know, the very same thing that I was complaining about. And that's the thing for the chair on the stairs. And it's like, oh, now I feel really bad, but I'm not going to get it anyway. But now I understand that person more and why they just, whatever. And now I have, now it shows me peace, the Two of Swords, peace of mind. Right. I get it. Because now I have the ability to feel compassion. And that's an amazing thing. I learned something just now about life, that if you can understand the situation better and understand the people involved that are irritating you, then you can, if you can rectify those feelings through understanding of the people involved, you can find peace and let it go. And I just did. That is a life lesson I didn't have before. I now have it. That is the power of oracles. They have the power to change your life in an instant, in a moment, through that sort of wisdom. That's the wisdom of nature, of the elemental forces. We human beings are pretty stupid. Take a look at what's going on right now. War is madness. War is insanity. And yet it is going on this planet in so many places. And there's always a threat of it. It is absolute stupidity for people to kill each other, for people to shoot rockets and to drop bombs on civilians, on children. Children, what do you do when you drop bombs or starve children? You create enemies that will be there forever and ever. I still hold grudges against kids who did things to me when I was in the second grade and the first grade and in kindergarten, for God's sake. You know, I liked everyone in nursery school. We were pretty good friends with that. But I still have those, and it's petty. But we are petty. So, we human beings, we are strange. We are strange and messed up. And the wisdom I just got simply said, I'll show you something about her, and you're so irritated with her, but here's why. She's the way she is. She has no one. And she's pretty broke. And this is why she called relentlessly. She finally gave up. Why she called relentlessly. So let it go, man. And have a little more compassion in your heart. You jerk. And really, the cards do say that. But that's a beautiful lesson. We humans need more lessons like that. I know I sure do. I know I do. Honesty. The ability to look at yourself in the mirror with the oracles is a great gift. Yeah. My chart. I've been married twice. It shows three. So, one of you out there may get lucky. I don't. Shut up, Mo. There's a thing called horary astrology. Now, CA pronounces it horary. I pronounce it horary. Sounds more polite when you say horary. But, you know, herbs. I don't know. I have a friend who's a horologist, and he fixes watches. You don't have to guess what he does. You would have guessed wrongly, probably. But horary astrology is fascinating stuff. I mean, you can do amazing things with it. It's where you ask a question, and you note the time, and then you cast a chart for that precise moment, and it answers the question. And I, one time, was really good at it. Really, 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 really good at it. I'm not saying that as brag, because I worked really hard at it, and I spent a lot of time on the charts. And you can get a book on it, or two, or 12, 15. I did regular, and then I learned the Vedic system, and that even was better when I did it. For me, it was better. And I enjoyed it very much, and then I didn't enjoy it as much, and then I quit. That's kind of my pattern. Once you learn it, you've got it, you know? And some things I stick with, and some things I just say, okay, I've got that, off to the next thing. Yeah. But you learn a lot about life that way. Because there are patterns in the way things happen. And these things are taught through these oracles because they only happen a certain way. They can't happen certain ways, you know. Here's the key. If you want to learn through the oracles, do as many readings as possible. As many readings as you can. I used to do gigs. In the beginning, I did free readings. Free. Did them for friends. Did some pretty tough readings. My buddy who died in February, I used to read for him all the time. And made a believer out of him early on. think I was in high school when he began to realize that, you know, there was something to this world. And he was with a... I was driving through to a yo-yo thing in Tucson from Denver, and he was in Albuquerque. And he was with a stayed overnight, and there was a girlfriend he had. And he said, "Would you read for us?" And I just got a tingle. You know, you get tingles. Well, I was tingling. I said, "Okay." And I was thinking, I don't know about this. But I said, "Okay." So I laid out the cards. And wowee. It was like I was looking at a book in Chinese. I couldn't make anything out. Nothing. And I was like, "God, I can't read it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, I don't see anything. I can't understand anything I'm seeing. And I realized that something was blocking me, and it was probably me, because I said, "Here, let me just write down these cards, and I just don't know why I'm unable to read." And later on that night, when I was, in my room, I didn't have a room there, he gave me a room. When I was in the room, I was looking at this, and it was just horrible stuff that if I had spoken out loud, she would have maybe, you know, who knows. But anyway, it was just bad. It was really bad. And truth be known, I had felt that, but they did not last long. And so that's part of life, too. You pay attention to those things. Those cards were bad. I wish I still had that. But you don't keep stuff like that, you know. But do as many readings as possible. And pay attention. Pay attention. And you can get gigs, you know. Do whatever you have to do. I mean, I used to do a lot of gigs. And I got paid some of them not well. Because I didn't know what the going rate was. Turned out I was always undercutting people and they were mad at me. And then you find out, you go, okay. But one time, I think I've mentioned this before, I read over 100 palms in an afternoon at the Denver Zoo. And there were a bunch of us there. But it was a great gig because I saw two hands that I will never forget in my life. One was one of the most incredible, intricate hands I've ever seen. It was an indigenous lady who came. She sat down across from me, indigenous American native lady, very young, maybe in her early 20s. But her hand looked like it was 1,000 years old. It looked like a spider's web. It was so intricate. And I've never seen anything like it. I hadn't. Never since, not before. It was remarkable. And I said, "Oh my God, has anyone ever read your hand before?" She said, "Yes. I know a lady, she's a native, and she said it's the most amazing hand she's ever seen." I said, "Well, let me just echo that. I've never seen anything like this." I said, "You've got a very ancient hand." And she said, "Yes, I know." I said, "You're very wise." And I went on and on, but more than that, I just couldn't take my eyes off her hands. And it was just remarkable. It was really, don't even know how to describe it. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. It was just so complex. And it did look like she was very, very old, but she was in her 20s. That was fun. And then I saw something I had never seen before and have never seen since, and something almost no palmist ever sees, but they read about it. It was called a simian line. And it's where you have one line on the hand and it goes straight across. And it's the only line on the hand. It's called a simian line because apes sometimes have them, right? And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it was this guy. And I'm trying to talk to him and say, you know, your life must be very interesting, because I didn't want to say what a simian line is supposed to be, which is someone who is oftentimes a simpleton. That's what the old books used to say. Someone who has no quality of life. But everything I said, he discounted, and he said, no, I don't do anything. I go home, and I just sit around, and I don't do anything. I don't have any friends, and I don't. And it, the line proved out to be everything that the book said. It was just mind blowing. I didn't want it to be true. It really just upset me so much, and I kept saying. And he said, finally, he just said, "Okay, thanks." And he got up and he walked away. And I just felt horrible, horrible. But that was that day. And like I said, I read over 100. There was a line you wouldn't believe because I was so into it, you know? Wow. You learn from these things. You learn. And you feel the people. But do. Do. And don't worry, it teaches you as you go. The I Ching. You learn from the I Ching. You learn from its accuracy. The I Ching is as accurate as anything you'll ever use. They're all accurate if you listen to them. Get to know the 8 trigrams of the I Ching. They're a family. There's a mother, a father, 3 daughters, and 3 sons, eldest, middle, and youngest. Get to know their personalities. You just pick up a book. I like Wilhelm's book, Richard Wilhelm. The I Ching or the Book of Changes. It's the book I've been using since I was 14 years old. I didn't buy it till I was 33, but I had, you know, I used to check it out and borrow it and, you know, whatever. But that's that, you know. I've been using that book since I was 14. And you get to know their personalities and what they're like. And you meet people and you immediately think, who is this person? And not one person is going to be that because these are forces of nature. They're forces of nature, but you get to know, and they're elemental forces. So it's a nice way to get to figure that out. But you incorporate them into your life, and you begin, and they're also nature itself. So Li, who is the middle daughter, she's the sun. You know, we go, okay, I get that. Bright and fiery and, you know, brilliant. Yeah. And Jen, the oldest son, he's lightning, thunder actually, thunder, boom. He kind of the flash too, the arousing. And, you know, it's just fascinating. Mountains, that's the youngest son. And you learn their traits, patience, impatience, impetuousness, you know. You bring that into your life. And you begin to see it around you, and you begin to understand how these things work. Then you begin to learn the hexagrams a little bit, and you see them as life situations, right? Yeah. And you begin to think of things in your life that have happened and how they may have been connected to this or to that. It's really quite fascinating to do. And you don't do all this in one week, of course, you know. You can't. Speaking of palmistry, I was at a gig once. I've talked about this before because it struck me so much. There was a philanderer. And I was watching this guy as he was making his way throughout the... He was a real wheeler and dealer. Maybe he was the husband of the lady who ran the whole thing and it hired me. I don't think so. But he was pretty high up in the law firm. And I think it was a law firm. It was a big party toward the holidays, and I'd been hired to come in and do readings. And I was using, I think I was doing palms again. And I like doing palms because you didn't have to carry the cards, and they're not threatening. You don't pull a death card, and people kind of flip out, you know. It doesn't always mean death, but, you know. I actually pulled the death card on a lady at a party once, and she died on the way home. But she'd been drinking. And she lived in the mountains, and she, you know, it wasn't my fault. I said to her, it doesn't mean death, it means change. You're going to have a big change coming soon. And she went around telling people, he pulled the death card, said a big change coming soon. She died. They blamed me. They said I had told people she was going to, I didn't tell anyone she was going to die. I didn't get hired for a while. And they hired me again, and I just did palms. Oh, that might have been that party. Anyway, so this guy was a real, he was kind of a player, you know, and I could see that. And I looked for it in his palm first. And he started giving me a hard time about what I was doing. And, you know how people do sometimes. And so I kind of let him have it. I told him I knew what he was about, and I knew who he was, and I knew who his current one was, and I was right because I could see the energy all through the room. I knew what was going on. I knew people knew what was going on. He didn't know they knew, but I told him everybody knows, and he better be careful because it was going to get out sooner than later, and he was freaking out. I warned him. You know, that's the beauty of oracles. They tell you, and when you're doing just, you know, energy, you just look around, you see what's happening. Be observant. Watch people. Now, tarot. Read the words in a tarot deck. Get a deck that has words on it. Mine has words on it. You can't get mine. I'm thinking of putting it out on the market again. But with tariffs, maybe we'll wait. It's only a few bucks, I think. But I'll let you know if I do it. But the Crowley deck has words on the numbered cards. On the, I don't know if the Rider-Waite deck, do they have words? They might. Like the Three of Cups, is it abundance? Is the Four of Cups... it's not charity. That's not what it is. It doesn't matter. Is the Five of Discs worry? Worry. Boy, does that bring... Whew. Five of Discs. So here's how that works. So when you have it like the Five of Discs, worry, and it's discs, so it's material worry, and when you think about a time in your life that may have really... When you think to yourself, what five discs? And I drew mine to represent five coins I had in my pocket once, which was a quarter, a nickel, a dime, and 2 pennies, 42 cents. And so I drew it that way, my hand with 42 cents in it, because it represented, I was in San Francisco the year after I graduated from high school. We went to San Francisco, we actually were in Palo Alto, but my mom and I got into a huge argument. It was in November, right around Thanksgiving. My mom and I got into arguments a lot because I was a hippie freak. And so I thumbed my way to the city. It was freezing cold, really cold. The wind was whipping in off the bay. I had 42 cents in my pocket. I was hungry, and I had been in that city before and spent the night behind a dumpster a couple of nights in a row. I didn't want to do that again. It was scary, and I was kind of a wimp. What am I going to say? I've been on the streets before. They hated hippies after it was 72, and they hated hippies in 72 because of what 67 and 68 and 69 and 70 had done. And so I was really hungry because I hadn't eaten since the night before. So I went into a shop where they looked at me like I had walked in a gorilla suit, which was just from the head up. It looked like that anyway. And there was... potato chips were 50 cents. I had 42. And so I had one of those things, take a penny, leave a penny. So I took eight. And I thought this lady was going to kill me. She was Chinese. And she just glared at me. I said, please. And she said, okay. Screamed at me, okay, you take. Get out. I took the chips, left. And I went to a phone booth made of collect call. To my parents and said, will you please come get me? And every time I see that five of discs, I think of that whole time and the worry I had and the fretting and just my whole... that's what a card can do. You take the word and you put yourself into it and you think, like the Five of Wands, strife. I drew it about being at Mardi Gras and seeing five riot cops coming toward me and me knowing that there were 10,000 people in back of me, maybe a million people, I don't know, and I had to get out of the way, and what was I going to do? That's what Tarot can be. You look at the word and you say, what does this mean? What does the Two of Cups, love, mean to me? What two cups do I see? I see the two cups that my kids made for me. Because Crowley says the Two of Cups, love, is pure love. It is love for the creator, for the created. Yeah. What do you love more than your kids? You know? But then again, all love is the creator for the created, because do we really know anyone completely? We turn people into what we want them to be, so they really are our creations. So all love can be that. I love you so much. So much. I want you to be happy. I want you to gain something from what these beautiful tools can give you. I want my knowledge to go on. Have fun with this. All right. Good for now. Till next week, I wish you all peace and love. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.